But a couple of things just stirring. It's kind of hard to a point coming out of Christmas and the time of the season, and we still want to kind of remain that way because we have just had the Christmas season. One of the things I was going to speak on today, but I don't think I'm going there, was like that of the Magi, because really we might have to wait like a year or two before we speak of that, because the Magi didn't come the night of. The shepherds did, you know, but that of the wise men came a year or so later. So we come out of the holiday and Christmas and more Christmas, and it's been a good Christmas despite COVID, amen? And a lot of good things. But it's like, okay, Lord, what do we do? I could put on here about if we didn't have Christmas, what would happen? We'd have no hope. Or I could sit over here and say, what's your master? Oh, Father, I think we already know that what Jesus brought us, and this is something that you can look up in John, and it starts like in John 6, 7, and 16, 17. It's where the I am's. But we're not, I don't know if we're going to go there, but that's those areas that Jesus, had it not been for the birth of him, we wouldn't have the I am's. Now, we know God spoke a few times mightily in the Old Testament, what? To tell them, I am. I am, you know. And then we have Jesus come on the scene, and he begins to share that I am. Seven I am's that he spoke of, and if you look at that in John, it's interesting about the bread and the door and the sheep and all of this. But that came lastly. The first thing that struck my heart was this other one. It says about who's your master, or what is your master? And I really feel, I wish there was more people here today to hear this, but it'll be recorded and we'll put it online. And Matthew 6:24, it says that no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal or devoted to the one and despise the other. And it goes on to say that you cannot serve God and mammon. Now, we look at that area of mammon, and it's talking about, you know, first thing we think of is money, you know, but it means money, yes. It means riches. It means possessions. It means your fame. It could talk about your status. It could talk about whatever is valued more than that of God. Who are you serving? You can't serve them both. So we got to figure out, what is our master? Who has our attention? Who is due our attention? Well, as a pastor, and I think as believers, we would say God is due our attention in all things. No matter what we're going through in this life, no matter what our world and our daily adventures are of just living in this life, we've got to understand that you've got to draw that line in the sand if we need to do that. But to say that I am serving my God even in my job, I am serving my God even in my family, in my hobbies, in my just my downtime, I'm serving God. Now, that doesn't mean that you've got to serve him into the point of, well, okay, if I'm not working, I got to serve God. I got to go to the homeless shelter. I got to go to the food kitchen. I got to go to here, and I got to go there, and I got to stand on the corner, and I got to proclaim, and all these things. I would say you don't have to do that unless he's told you by the Spirit to do that in your free time. But he does want us to enjoy our free time. So I don't know why some people get this thought process. If I become a Christian and I begin to attend church or whatever the case is, I'm going to have to do that all the time, and I'll never have time for myself. I think you will find in this day and age that those people that are outside the kingdom of God, they are running in circles, and guess what they have accomplished? Nothing. The world has a good draw on them to keep them busy, to keep them focused, to keep doing, to get more, but more of what? More of frustration? More of possessions? For what? I'm going to tell you what, just go home today and go through your house and see how much stuff you have socked away, buried away, in the top shelf, in the attic, in the garage, in a box, under the steps, somewhere that you've not even seen for 10 years. But it's stuff that I put labor into to buy so that I could just pack it away, never to be seen again. We got a lot of stuff, but we try to clean out as best we can. I've shared this before. That's the best thing about moving about every 3 to 4 years when I had my other career. It kept the house cleaned out. Bless my wife. She was a, we didn't pack rat a lot of stuff. It's like when it came time to move, just take the essentials. It's not to say that life has to be totally surrendered to God, but yeah, it's got to be totally surrendered to God, but you've got to understand that God says you can enjoy life, Tim. You can enjoy this time. You know, I'm not a taskmaster. I'm not a slave driver. I want you to enjoy it and have good things, and I want to bless you, and I want to be with you. And I just want your attention. I want you to praise me and worship me and talk to me and allow me to come in to where you're at. I want you, and I created you to praise me. It's part of the thoughts of that of we were created because he wants to be praised and worshiped. And are you doing that? And you can do that in your home. You can do that doing your golfing. You can do that boat and fishing and working and all of these things. He just wants our attention to the point of when you get up in the day, you go, wow, God, I love you. Was that whole so hard to say? Was that so hard? But it comes from the heart, hopefully, of us to realize what we have in him, in the love that he showers us with. But he tells us, and Jesus is telling us, thank God for Jesus, the I ams, all these things that we're not going to cover today. But also, Jesus was on, and we're talking about this in Matthew 6. It's in the red. It's Jesus saying the same thing. Look at what is in the red if you've got a red-lettered Bible and pay attention to those things because it's Jesus speaking to the people around him, to his disciples, to the woman at the well, to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, to the sinners, you name it. But he is speaking, and when you see these things, pay attention. But when he says that you can't serve two masters, and we have this thought process that we can do that, what makes you think you can do that when Jesus says you can't? The world will say, yo, you can have this and do that, and you can give some time to him later on, or just on Sunday is fine. He understands, you know? No. You cannot serve God and possessions, fame, status, or whatever it is that you look at and put value on it to say, God, or this thing here, or this thing over here, I'm going to focus on this. Our focus and attention needs to be on God. Like I've said earlier, in our job, in our home, in our relations, in everything we do, we have to have that. I was sharing with Dan a little bit, and I was reading this book of the Holy Spirit and whatnot that I've gotten, and I read it this morning. It's just like five pages. The Holy Spirit in Leviticus. And this thing hit me, and I want to basically look at this a little bit, not today, but it speaks of the Holy Spirit. It speaks of the fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire that came onto the altar. And this guy talks about this, and it's like all of a sudden it's like, duh, that the fire on the altar, man did not start it, but God, the fire on the altar, but it was up to them, the priest, whoever, to sustain it and to maintain it and to keep it burning. So what are you doing in your life to keep and maintain and sustain that of the Holy Spirit or the power of God in your life? This is like, wow. And so you look up, and I looked up this morning in my Bible and a definition of the altar, and it talks about all of this altar and the altar, but it's, we find that today, oh, this is not the message of today, but hopefully it just kind of gets you going because it's gotten me looking at it, that our life, your life, is the altar. We no longer have an altar that we maintain the fatted calf on and the blemishless, you know, doves and things and sheep. No, that was in the Old Testament. What has come with that of Christ in our lives and being filled with the Holy Spirit, is that now you are a walking altar for that of God. And if you are a walking altar of that of God, you have got the responsibility to keep the Holy Spirit filled in you, ignited in you, talking to you, hooked up to you, responding to Him. That's your part. Like that back in the Old Testament of the priest and those that maintained it. They had a responsibility to go in and keep that when it came time for sacrifices. But for us, it's a daily activity of being a walking altar for that of God. So that's not the message of today, but I want to keep digging into that. Because, see, it kind of makes sense when you think of it, because in the New Testament, he says that we are a temple. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in you. He comes. He lives. He's there with you. Now you become that walking church. We are the church. We are the temple. We have the mighty power of everything that did in the Old Testament and the things that God did in the temples and on the altars. We have got it now built within us through that of the death of Christ, by that of the coming of the Holy Spirit, to where because of the birth and the manger and all of these things and the Pentecost, we are a walking power of that of the church that God wants here upon this earth. But it's going to have to get back, guys, to this here. You can't serve God in this life. You can't serve God in your status. You can't serve God and worried about your possessions and getting more just to have more to pack away so that when you pass on to your life eternity that your family gets to throw it out after you're gone. So many times we get all these ideas of saving and collecting and saving and collecting. Well, I tell you, unless it's really something that really means something to the family, which if it really means something to the family, you're going to have it out on a bookcase. But if it's something that's been packed away for 25, 30, or 45 years, and they open it up, they go, what? I've never seen this before. What is this? Dumpster. But somehow, some way back, you had to have it, you had to buy it, you had to possess it. And it's just looking at things realistically. We need more of God. We need to put our focus on Him and the possessions, oh, in the life of this world, it will grow strangely dim. And that's what it's all about. One day, your eyes are going to close, and these things grow dim. Moth and rust will corrupt it. Moth and rust will destroy it. We have put treasures in a place that is incorruptible, that of heaven, in our heavenly home. That Jesus has gone to prepare. We find that Jesus is telling us that a person can really only have one master. The church doesn't understand that yet. The world can care less. The world's lost. We're not talking about the world. We got to get the church into the realization that you better be looking at some of these things that the Word of God says to keep yourself in tune to Him, to keep yourself, whoa, I don't know why this is happening to me. Well, maybe because you're not tuned into the Holy Spirit to be led and guided by Him. Maybe He would have warned you about that, or maybe He's given you an answer to get your way out of that, but you're too busy with the things of the world to be paying attention to that of God. And then we bemoan and we whine and we cry. And God would say, well, you're not focused on me like you're supposed to be. Now, thank God that He's got grace, love, and mercy, because I have been benefactor of that. I'm sure you have. So this is not to hit you over the head to say, oh, you know, it's to wake us up. Wake up, Tim. Wake up, Harvesters Church. Wake up, the church world. Wake up, the kingdom of God on this earth, that you better get your priorities set. You better get your who you're serving set. And when you do that, you better keep your focus on God Almighty and only Him. Amen? Thank you. It's good to have a child say amen. Come to Him like with that childlike faith. Now, we had a lot more older people here. Some of them would be going, I ain't going to be that. I'm not going to come back to this church. He's telling me I got to get my life on straight and I got to focus on God. Well, you know what? Oh, well. Because we've got to be focused on God. If you're going into 2021, you better be focused on God. We've just seen a mere glimpse of 2020, of the chaotic, the satanic, the things of how this world can just fall apart at just the snap of a finger by one or two things being said, by one or two things that have come on the scene, that it has just destroyed what this says, what we knew as life in 2019 was. We thought 2019 was crazy, 2018 was crazy, oh, oh, oh. 2020 comes, well, hey, it's totally, go ahead, that's okay, it's okay. Not as crazy as we thought. That's a good sign to say. I tell you what, good message there. My goodness, because it gets crazier. And I don't know what this next year of 2021 holds, but I know my God. That's all you've got to do is know your God. And if it's crazier, know God even more. If it gets wackier, just trust Him, have faith in Him, have peace in Him, have comfort in Him, have joy in Him. Keep your eyes set upon the prize and let all this other stuff in this earth be shaken. And the church has been shaken, shaken, and shaken with all of this COVID stuff. And it's shaking up the church of God and the kingdom of God on this earth. And there's a sifting and a time of coming. And that's what, remember, when He says He's coming back on that, the church gets judged before the world gets judged. He's coming back for a spotless bride. He's coming back to cleanse His house, because those that are going to be with Him are going to be those that are surely with Him through thick and thin, through that was your life and this time and where we're at, that God is my God. And I'm going to focus on Him. I've surrendered to Him. Jesus has become Lord of my life, not just Lord of some of my days. He has come totally, or I have come totally to the understanding that I have got to take this and surrender it. And guys, I was not like that always. So I'm not the choir singing like, you've got to be perfect because I've been perfect from the beginning. No, but these are things that I have learned, and I believe the Spirit has just been through books, through His, not, I don't read a lot of books, through His Bible, through the Word of God, through times in the Spirit of just speaking to you, that it's all of a sudden when God's Word speaks to you, you know it's His Word speaking to you, because you know it, because if you've been around Him long enough, my people hear my still small voice, or a quiet voice. I don't want my God to have to go, Tim, this is God and I want you to do this. I want to graduate and I want to get closer to where, if it's from me to that back wall, He just goes, Tim, I want you to do this. Okay, yeah. Why was I able to hear that? Because it's what you're focused on. You know, when you're in a crowd of people in a room and you got the TV or something going and it's all kinds of back noise and stuff, if something on the TV perks or piques your interest, there's times that you can, at times, kind of like, what's that being said? And you can almost kind of dig it out if you just pay attention to that, because I'm no longer listening to this chatter. I'm going, hey, that's, wow. And then somebody might say, well, did you hear what I said? No, what was it? Because I was paying attention to, I zoomed in or zoned in on that, what I wanted to hear. And that's what we have to do with God, because there's so much chatter in the world. There's so much chatter going on that it's just like, we just get the message in our head. It's like, what is it? What am I to listen to? Am I listening? Should I listen to the government? Should I listen to the doctor? Should I listen to this? Should I listen to that? You listen to them when the Spirit of God says listen to them, but don't listen to them thinking that man has the answers or that man knows it all, because they don't know anything. It's just practicing what they think they know. You take it under advisement. You take it by prayer. And you go, okay, this does make sense, Lord. Is this what I should be doing? Yes, okay. I'll follow what they're saying. But we need to have the clarity that we've got to run this stuff by our Heavenly Father, by that of the Spirit, to talk to us, to say, don't be in fear, Tim. Don't run to and fro. We got people running to and fro. They don't even know what they're running to and fro from. We spend just about everything in our waking moment to accumulate things that this world tells us. We see many people in our society striving, working, slaving. They're finding ways to collect their money, to save their money. All of these things that we want to do, and it's a good thing to a point, but don't put your whole life into these things of the finances of this world, guys. It's good to have retirement. It's good to have retirement and 401s and all these things, but I'm going to tell you what, if something happens and they pull the rug out, something in the government or whatever, and they decide to take 401s or tax it half off, there's nothing you're going to be able to do. And God's going to say, you should have been putting your trust in me, because I have your I have your provision. It's wise to do that. It's wise to invest here. It's wise to have those. I'm not saying that. But you've got to be cautious and understand that there is nothing guaranteed in this world. I don't care when you go to the bank. I don't care when you put a 401 retirement and you sign these papers and all these contracts. There's something in mice type somewhere that says at a drop of the bucket we can change. And the government can do that on anything that they want to do, that they say, we're not going to tax you on this now. Have your trust and faith in that of God. Know who your master is. It's not that bank account. That's not your plan. It's not your savings. It's not your job. It's not this. It's not that. It's all good things. Praise God. He's allowed you to do those things, and He's blessed us, and I thank Him for those blessings. But they're only there because why? His blessings. His blessings. But I don't put my trust into that. I put my trust into Him. For when all else fails, when all else falls apart, when all else is taken from you, the one thing this world cannot take from you is that of God in your life and what He means to you and how He's going to take care of you through thick or through thin. Amen? Thank you. You guys are promoted to adult church. I'm going to tell Terry, right? And Terry, you can't have them no more. They're out here. You're in the big church. But that's where, how, and what we've got to be doing. We're getting ready to leave this year of 2020, and we've seen the craziness of it. I'm going to tell you, you better be looking at who your master is. Now, let's continue on a little bit. What is going to draw them away from God? The riches, that's what's going to do that. They will lose sight of the spiritual things of God. Here it is. We will lose sight of the spiritual things of God, and their commitment to God takes a second place to the commitment to this world's riches. And it goes with this. Whatever you store up, you will spend a lot of time and energy focused on that. If we would store up as much time and effort into the things of God that we do in our life here, the things that we do for our job, the things we do for our fun, the things that we do even in our families, if we would take part of that energy and say, you know, I want to still do this, but I've got to take a portion of that, and I've got to store it up in that of God, because He's the one that's everlasting. He's the one that has my future. He's the one that holds me in His hand. He's the one that's going to protect me. He's the one that's going to heal me. He's the one that's going to provide. He's the one that's going to keep me safe. He's the one. He's the one. He's the one. He will never turn on you like that of the world will turn on you. Anybody had anybody in the world turn on you? Hey, that's just a snapshot of that's the world. Maybe if you haven't had that happen, find somebody and says, has anything in the world ever turned on you? Let me know what it's like. Oh, I got a story to tell you. It happens all the time. So we get into this part of the love of money, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the Amplified, says this, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith, and they've pierced themselves with many sorrows. The love of money has pierced you with sorrows. Oh, where did my time go? Why didn't I have this opportunity? Why wasn't I able to say this for that person or that family or that member or that friend or whoever? I've not had that time. I've been so wrapped up in my own things. Now, we got to look at this. For the love of money, and it speaks of this, it amplifies it. That is the greedy desire for it and the willingness to gain it, even unethically. However I can get it, I'm going to take it. Now we got to understand also that the love of money is the root. Money is not evil, but it's what you allow it to attach itself to. Because we all know we live in a system that takes money to live and money to pay bills and money to pay for food. And God provides, and God provides your job, He provides your finance. God, if we always get back to the first step of the equation, it all goes back to that of God. God provides your job. God provided your qualities and your talent. You got a raise. You got a bonus. You got this. He's giving you food. He's giving you opportunity to do this. He's giving you a roof over your head. All of these things we need to look at, and that's why it's so easy to wake up every day and just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. It can be over the silliest things. Thank you, God, for a Keurig that I can have a cup of coffee in like 2 minutes. You know, it's like the simplest things in my life I look at and I say, thank you, God. And it's not, you know, It's not just being foolish and like, oh, just willy-nilly. You begin to look at it in that light to say, that's a blessing. That's a blessing to have water come out of a spigot. It's a blessing to have this. It's a blessing to have. You know, it's getting to down to the point of understanding that everything that I have been allowed to have is by only one thing, God. God. God, keep us healthy. God, keep us strong so that we can continue to go and do what you want us to do. Give us the strength. Give us the words. Give us whatever it is, Lord. Because when we find out that we are here not to satisfy ourselves, we're not here to gain riches for ourselves. We are here to be an example. We're here to share love. We're here to share hope. We're here to share that of Christ, that what He has done in our lives, He can do the same in you. It's not to go out and stand on the street corner every day at whatever time or on the weekend to do that. That's fine and dandy, but it should be a day in and day out walk that you have, that you are just a walking evangelist to the point of this. You just allow God to be seen in your life, in all that you say and all that you do. And when you mess up, you ask for forgiveness because He's a forgiving God full of grace and mercy. We will not have this right. We will still mess up. We will still have a stutter at times in our step. We will misstep. We will do something. We are not all perfect. Me, for sure. But we've got to be willing to know that I want to try for that. I want to shoot for that, because whatever you're shooting for, you know, it's like a target. I can tell you one thing, if you're going to shoot that target, but you don't aim at it, you're going to miss it. But if you at least aim the gun in that direction, kind of zeroed in on that, I'm going to at least say, you got a pretty good opportunity to hit that thing. So in our life, if we continue to look at this, if we don't keep God on our target in the front of us, I can tell you this, if God is here and you're looking over here, I'm going to pretty well put my money that you're going to miss Him. You're not going to hear Him. You're not going to follow Him. You're not going to see Him. You're not going to hear. You're not. We've got to, whether He's here, over here, or whatever, we have to keep our focus on God. So money is not bad. It's just how it can develop a root in you if you think the love of that. I don't love that money. I like it, and it's used, and it can be used for a lot of good things. Amen. The New Century Version says this, the love of money causes all kinds of evil. Some people have left the faith. Can you believe that? Some people have left the faith because they wanted to get more money, but they have caused themselves much more sorrow. Some people have left the faith. I know early on in this, I used to tell the people, you know what? I didn't come to serve God because it paid well, but I did come to serve God because He pays well. It's how you put your focus on these things and trust in those things. I have as much or more faith in Him than what I did when I worked with my career, and every week or every 2 weeks I knew exactly what was dropping into my account. I knew everything was taken care of. I knew this, I could count on that, I had that, this. I had faith that every time that it was payday, this company I worked for was doing well, that I had faith that I didn't have to worry. Gee, I wonder if that's going to happen. I wonder if I'm going to get a paycheck this Friday. We step over into the realm of God, we get that same faith. It took a while to build that up, though, folks, because a little bit of the world came in me right away, because I got kind of fearful, like, huh, Lord, you mean I got to rely on these people, you know, storehouse and pay and all this? No, I'm relying on God. And I will tell you, God has blessed us more in the limited resources and the things that are available to us. Because with God, there is no limit. Amen? God makes a way where there seems to be no way. God provides when He knows you need it. God knows the desires of your heart. God knows He's going to take care of you. All that God wants to know is, Tim, I know the desires of your heart, but Tim, do you have me in your heart? That altar, the heart. Are you actively daily keeping that altar open? Are you keeping that flame ignited? How can I do that, God? Spend time with me. Be in my word. Trust me. Allow the Spirit to move. Allow the Spirit to be in you. Allow this. Allow this. Do this, Tim, for I'm there with you. How sad it is that some have left the faith because of the things of what they've looked at in the world. I don't know. I don't know what to do after this. I was talking to a guy this past week. It's like, you know, I don't have a plan to go, like, you know, when I leave this church and go to the other church, or when I look for and itinerate to this bigger church or some other church here or there, I have no desire. It's like, I'm here. So I don't know what God has for me after this. I don't know if this is just what it is. If it is what it is, it is what it is. But I just trust God. And I want to serve Him. Maybe when He comes and says, well, Tim, your time here is done, and things are going to change, and this is going to happen, or whatever, you know, be blessed, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'll do that. Or if He says, you're going to be here until I tell you when it's done, be here until it's done, I'll be here until it's done. That's what our life is to be with that of God. Move when He says move, but stay when He says stay. And if you're thinking about moving and He's not said to move, then you better do what? Better stay. Or you get yourself into problems. And that's that thing, whether career, job, worldly job, anything. Be attentive to that of the Spirit. What did I want to do? My master is you, God. My master is not this church. My master is not these people. My master is not my bank account. Lord, I want to be faithfully serving you and doing things for people that you want people to help with and do with, Lord. Whatever I can do to help them get closer to you, God, I count it a privilege. They don't need to be a member of the church. They don't need to sign anything here if they want this or that. It's amazing. You know, some of the funerals that I've done have been for people that have not even been in our church. And you try to give a message of hope for those that are there. Leave a message that God is a faithful and just God. But it's to help that. How about weddings? I'd be glad to marry anybody that's living in sin to get out of that and to be married by that of the God in God's eyes, you know. It's just like whatever it takes. My mission is to help people. I've told people when I've not even known them and they come and we have our initial visit, I said, I want to thank you because I am glad to get you out of sin. You know what? A lot of times they already know they're in that. They never have come and said, what do you mean by that? A lot of them know that. They already have that sensing. They were raised in church maybe years ago. They might even know what God says about that, but it was so used to get into what the world looks at and the way the world operates. And see, that's this worldly thing, how the world operates. The world operates to the point to where the world wants to operate in the church. And we've had a lot of churches allow the world to begin to operate within the confines of the church walls, and we have found that this is why we get back to that point that I believe this year and probably the year coming up and things is that the Lord is shaking His church. And I just pray that we are going to be one of those that He's pleased with. You know, I'm not just cavalier about saying, oh, we're perfect and I'm sure we're the ones. No, it's daily. Work out your salvation with trembling daily. Work out the work of this church. Keep the Holy Spirit on the front line. Keep God in the message. Keep morality and what it is in God's Word. Keep preaching what I want. Let the people know that they need more of me. Don't worry about if they get upset. If they leave, don't worry, Tim, because I'm a God that provides over no matter what. As long as you serve me and do what I have for you to do, I will take care of you. Amen. But you know what? That's just as pastoring. But you have that same thing in your personal life. As you serve Him, as you're listening to Him, as you're obedient to Him, we just need to keep God first. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And so as we begin to see these things develop and we find out how much God is wanting us, we begin to say, hallelujah, God, we just praise you and thank you so much. And so we've got to be aware of how God has to be over everything in our life. Church life, family life, job. And He loves us. Amen? Amen. Thank you. So, it'll be a good thing today as we look about leaving 2020 and we're entering the year 2021. What is occupying the majority of our time? Time, thoughts, efforts, and energy. What is all these things that takes us? God's Word does tell us that the stuff of this world will rust and not last. Whereas we focus on heavenly values, our earthly ones will fade away or be stolen or wear out. And that's the thing. The things that He gives us here, I've got some good things. Everybody got some good things here? But we realize they do break, they do fall apart, and they do rust. But we just have to be aware of these things. Put our possessions where they don't rust, where they don't have moth and are eaten up. And that's in heaven. So as Jesus is warning us to live contently with what we have and to fix our eyes on the eternal and lasting that he has for us in heaven. And that's where it all comes down to. It's not what is here, but it's what in our heavenly reward is. And so we just thank you and we praise you, Father, for taking care of us and being with us and loving us and guiding us and giving us the blessings. I think everyone here that I look at has been blessed, haven't you? I mean, we look at life and we all have blessings, and that's the love of God. Our desire is that we just need to be able to know that those are from him and that he's got more for us as we surrender our lives and surrender ourselves to him. Amen? Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. So, what's your master? Where do we look for? What is there? I would hope that as we get into this next year that we begin to put a lot more focus on the things of God. And I think most of us have. I'm not saying we're negatively, adversely affected there. But I just know that as we go in life, that there's so much more drawing. And it seems like the closer we get into these times, there just seems to be more stuff caving in on us and pulling things away from us. So, Father, we love you. Hallelujah. Lord, I just ask you now to be with each and every one of us, Lord. Touch us. Direct us, Lord. Let us know how much you love us. We know you love us, but Lord, we got to love you even more. I thank you and I praise you, Father God, that you will just continue to show up in our lives every day throughout the times that we walk, that we see you in it, and that, Father, you see us wanting to attain more of you in our lives, that we surrender to you, that we follow you, that we know that all of these blessings and all of these good things that we have are blessings from you, Father God, and that you love us and that you care for us, and that you have more for us as we just continue to be opened and obedient to you, Father God. The love that you have for us came down, wow, Lord, in that manger many, many years ago. And Father, it continues for us today through that of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It continues with us hearing and being led by you, by that of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our homes. And Lord, we just thank you so much. I just pray now you'll touch each and every heart here today and just let them know how much you love them. And may they in return back to you how much they love you in return for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and now go with us, we pray, and in Jesus' name, amen.